KSDP, 830 AM in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. As the new chair of the Senate Indian Affairs Committee, Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska was one of the featured speakers at the National Congress of American Indians winter session in Washington, D.C. this week. As KNBA's Rhonda McBride tells us, she encouraged tribes to stand up for their rights.
Senator Lisa Murkowski says she's worried about President Trump's executive orders to shut down programs that promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. She says the administration must not be allowed to apply these initiatives to tribes.
This is a different category altogether, folks.
Murkowski says this needs to be made clear to the new administration.
The federal government is charged with moral obligations of the highest responsibility and trust towards Native Indian tribes. And it's that trust responsibility that we're talking about here.
Murkowski told the group she's encouraged by a directive from the Interior Department that says the president's DEI initiatives do not override the department's pre-existing legal obligations to tribes. But the senator says she does appreciate the administration's desire to make government more efficient.
But how we achieve it matters.
Murkowski says, above all, the administration needs to follow the law. The senator drew the most reaction from the crowd when she compared the current political climate to boating in the rough seas of Southeast Alaska, when it's not easy to find safe harbor.
I think we got people vomiting off both sides of the boat, and it's just kind of tumultuous now. So,
Murkowski says she's heard that some tribes have had trouble accessing their federal money. She encouraged them to contact her Indian Affairs Committee so it can keep track. The senator also noted that the president's Department of Government Efficiency should look to tribes and their success in using tribal compacts, a self-governance mechanism that has saved the federal government millions of dollars. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
Representative Sharice Davids of Kansas and Melanie Stansberry and Teresa Legere Fernandez of New Mexico sent a letter this week to U.S. Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, raising concerns about Indian education. In the letter, they outlined their opposition of the president's order, expanding educational freedom and opportunity for families. They're concerned it would dismantle the Bureau of Indian Education. The lawmakers wrote the U.S. government has both trust and treaty responsibilities to provide tribal education services, led by the Bureau of Indian Education under the Department of the Interior. The lawmakers say the BIE administers funds for hundreds of schools and programs, and for Native communities, there are few to no other options. The lawmakers are urging Burgum to engage in tribal consultation and ensure that BIE programs are fully funded. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been sworn in as the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, which oversees the Indian Health Service. Kennedy has promised to elevate Indian health in the agency. During his confirmation hearing, he committed to addressing Indian health care.
I'm going to bring in a Native at the Assistant Secretary level. I'd like to get him actually designated as a Assistant Secretary for the first time in American history. Ensure that all of the decisions that we make in our agency are conscious of their impacts on the First Nations.
In a social media post, the IHS said it looks forward to working with Kennedy with its effort to strengthen healthcare services, expand access, and improve health outcomes for American Indian and Alaska Native communities. The IHS provides health services to more than 2 million American Indians and Alaska Natives in 37 states. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the American Indian College Fund, providing millions of dollars of scholarships to Native students every year. Applications are accepted through May 31st at collegefund.org or by phone at 800-766-FUND.
DT Track, your healthcare partner, provides access to a nationwide network of qualified healthcare temporary staff, including medical billing professionals that optimize your revenue cycles. More at dt-track.com who support this show.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is not your fault as state employees. This is the fault of our administration.
State employees rally at the Capitol to tell lawmakers they want better pay and retirement benefits. From Alaska Public Media, this is Statewide News on Alaska News Nightly for Friday, February 14th. Good evening, I'm Casey Grove. Also tonight, the Trump administration's effort to cut federal spending halts hiring at Denali National Park.
I don't feel like I am a part of that bloat. I feel like I am just a hardworking person who needed a job.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
If subsistence hunting, trapping, and fishing are important to you, consider applying for a seat on the Federal Subsistence Regional Advisory Councils. Needed are rural Alaskans knowledgeable about fish and wildlife resources in their region. Apply by Sunday, February 16th. More information at 1-800-478-1456 or email subsistence@ios.doi.gov. This message sponsored by the Office of Subsistence Management.
Public sector workers and lawmakers rallied in front of the Alaska State Capitol in Juneau this Valentine's Day to, according to organizers, show some love for state and local employees.
Fair wages! Respect! Retirement security! Fair wages!
Some of the roughly 70 demonstrators at the Alaska State Employees Association rally carried signs calling on the governor to release a delayed statewide salary study. Union leaders filed a lawsuit Tuesday accusing Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration of illegally withholding the report funded by lawmakers in 2023. Union leader Heidi Dragas says it's an intentional delay.
It is abundantly clear that this administration wants to delay this study. And do you know why? I think we know why. Because it says we demand raises. We deserve raises. Public employees right now are 15 to 20% underwater. 15 to 20% in this state, the most expensive state in the union.
The governor's office says it has not received a final report, and they say drafts and revisions they've asked for from the HR consultants conducting the study are legally protected from disclosure. Many of the protesters also carried signs calling on the state to create a new pension system for public employees. Jody Stewart, a probation and parole officer in Kenai who serves on the union's board, says many state workers are struggling to make ends meet.
I have myself had to think of how am I going to pay for studded tires? And you want to know what? I can't. I know that I've had to do some interesting budgetary things within my family to make sure that I have the things that I need and want. And that isn't the world that I wanted as a public employee.
Union leaders were joined by a bipartisan group of majority caucus lawmakers who made addressing the state's worker shortage a key campaign priority. The largely Democratic bipartisan coalitions controlling the House and Senate are pushing to pass a bill that would create a new defined benefit system to replace the state's existing 401k-style defined contribution plan. Advocates say it's one reason the state is struggling with vacancies and turnover. And Representative Ashley Carrick, a Fairbanks Democrat, says the state's failure to hire and hang on to its employees is cascading through Alaska's economy.
I've had folks contact me daily about not being able to get their business licenses or professional licenses on time, not getting their grants and contracts on time, not getting permits for resource development, not being able to retire in a timely fashion and get that retirement benefit, not getting paid on time. This is not your fault as state employees. This is the fault of our administration.
Leaders are optimistic they'll come up with a pension bill that can pass both chambers, but the bill's fate at the governor's desk is uncertain. With national parks facing a hiring freeze, some Alaskans now face uncertainty regarding their employment. KTNA's Andrew Gelderman has more.
Laura Wright's first day at her new job for Denali National Park would have been February 10th. Wright accepted the job offer back in December and did all of the onboarding paperwork. She was only waiting on a background check to clear before walking into work. About 2 weeks out, she received an email.
It was a 2 or 3 line email that said that the Park Service could no longer offer this position at this time.
The National Park Service sent many of these emails after President Donald Trump ordered a hiring freeze. It's part of a wide-ranging initiative to reduce government spending. The initiative is a controversial one, sparking numerous lawsuits. The Park Service declined to comment for this story, including on questions about how many positions are affected. But Wright says that blanket cuts can have unintended consequences.
I know that there are people that think, great, let's trim the excesses of the government. It's bloated. Well, I don't feel like I am a part of that bloat. I feel like I am just a hardworking person who needed a job, applied for a job, and was looking forward to working.
Wright has worked seasonally for Denali National Park for 12 years. That's why she was so excited to jump into the full-time role. She says jobs like hers are crucial for the parks, especially during the busy season.
Some of these federal jobs are good jobs, and we do good things. And we protect resources and save lives and explain the flora and fauna. And that is why a lot of people come to visit Alaska.
There are some exceptions to the hiring freeze outlined in the executive order. Jobs relating to national security or public safety can still be filled. However, they're not automatic. The Park Service still has bureaucratic hurdles to get around the freeze. In Talkeetna, I'm Andrew Gelderman.
After the fatal Bering Eric plane crash last week, residents in nearly 20 villages came out to their local airstrips over the weekend to greet planes, hug the pilots, and pray together. Officials are starting to look into the crash and examine the state's long-standing aviation safety challenges. But as Alona Nyden with the Alaska Desk reports, people in the region are standing by each other in the meantime.
A Bering airplane descends into Golovin on a Saturday, 2 days after the fatal crash of Flight 445 near Nome. 10 hearts are spray-painted next to the village airstrip. Residents painted them, one for each victim. Golovin was one of at least 19 villages where residents honored the victims and expressed their support for the pilots and staff of the regional airline. In Shennock, people held hands and circled the plane after it landed. In Brevik Mission, people made signs and posters. In many places, people prayed, and in others, they sang in Alaska Native languages. Shennock resident Leona Komak was among those singing.
That's what our people do. You know, we're there for one another.
The idea came from a health aide in Sawunga who wanted to uplift residents after the heartbreak. People in Sawunga greeted the plane with a song that a late local elder translated into St. Lawrence Island Yupik in the early 70s after his son died. Since then, the community has been singing it during funerals. This time, they sang it to wish the victims of the crash an everlasting life. 4 people on board the flight lived in Northwest Alaska. Others had close local ties, says Velma Jones from Noatak, a community of about 500 where 50 people showed up to the airstrip.
We feel it, and we feel for their families.
Investigators have emphasized that the cause of the Bering Air crash, which killed all 10 on board, is still unclear. But documented gaps in the state's weather reporting system have already been drawing attention, including by national transportation officials and Alaska's congressional delegation. The group held a press conference earlier this week where they brought up infrastructure issues in the state, which also has the highest rate of crashes in the nation. Specifically, Senators Murkowski and Sullivan pointed to known issues with Alaska's automated weather observance system, which helps pilots decide if it's safe to fly. Many of the system stations are located off the road and use outdated technology. University of Alaska Fairbanks climate specialist Rick Toman says that on any given day, 10 to 20% of the stations are down and repairs are hard. Toman adds that efforts and funding for weather stations improvements have been limited.
From my perspective, that's a start, but the amount of money that's been allocated is nowhere near sufficient to systematically address the problem.
Bering Air is the predominant air carrier in Northwest Alaska and is often the only way for residents to get to medical appointments, basketball games, and other communities, as well as to receive mail, groceries, and medical supplies. More than 80% of Alaskan communities are off the road system, making similar small regional air carriers an important lifeline. Velma Jones of NOAATAC says that pilots who commute people back and forth become a big part of their community.
You get to know them, like personally, like you would know your neighbor.
Kaylee Fagerstrom was one of dozens Gullivan residents who welcomed the Bering Air plane after they resumed operations. She says she wanted to express her support to victims' families and pilots after the crash.
So we're just showing our love to Bering Air so they don't give up on us and don't lose hope for anything.
The National Transportation Safety Board has been investigating the cause of Flight 445 crash. The preliminary report can take up to 30 days after the incident, and the final report can take up to several years. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naidin.
Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, survivors of a close call on Portage Lake warn against a false sense of security near glaciers.
I just skated for my life. It was pretty surreal in the moment, like the adrenaline just kicked in.
That is ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. If you would like to play an integral part in what you're listening to, public media is designed for and made possible by the communities it serves. If you are already a member or corporate sponsor, thank you. If you'd like to learn more about how to become a member or sponsor, it's easy. Start with a call to your public radio station. The greatest compliment to a public media station is when a listener becomes a member. So do your part today by becoming a part of the team officially. Thank you for making a donation.
Hundreds of Alaskans recently flocked to Portage Lake south of Anchorage to skate, bike, and walk on the ice. They were seizing the window of winter where the ice is thick enough to skate on, but not yet snowy. Still, recreating in that scenic spot always carries risk. As Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra reports, Portage Glacier recently calved, stranding ice skaters and prompting outdoor experts to issue safety reminders.
Lauren Jobe was skating on Portage Lake Monday, February 10th. She says she was about 80 yards from the glacier when she heard it cracking.
Glaciers, I know they make noises, so I didn't really hear them as a warning sign that it might break off. I thought this might just be the noises that people say glaciers make.
Soon, though, a couple of rocks tumbled off the top, and then she says a huge chunk of the glacier crashed onto the ice, shattering it and starting waves beneath.
I just skated for my life. It was pretty surreal in the moment, like the adrenaline just kicked in. The most frightening part was just like, am I just not going to be fast enough to get out of here?
Jobe and her boyfriend did get away. They sprint skated to the closest land, a craggy outcrop.
Maybe the first wave had kind of hit right as I was jumping off of the ice from where we were. And a few seconds later, where I had jumped off was completely shattered. And then we just watched the waves go by.
The two of them had backpacks with safety supplies. They used their rock climbing harnesses to climb over the crag to a more solid piece of ice. Two other skaters made it to land but couldn't climb out on their own. They were rescued by nearby ice climbers. That glacier calving wasn't just a close call for Jobe. Just before, over the weekend, hundreds of Alaskans visited the lake to skate, bike, walk, and sled the smooth surface. There was even a rave Sunday with DJs on the ice. Luke Mell is an ice rescue instructor and avid ice skater. He says the community should be grateful the calving happened on a Monday.
If that calving event had happened over the weekend, it would have been so bad. And it would have been such a hard spot for rescuers to get, for bystanders to support. Like, really worst case scenario. It would have been like a national tragedy.
Mel says it's amazing no one got hurt. And he says this kind of close call is an opportunity.
Something super scary happened to a bunch of people within our community. And so I think it's worth everybody just taking a second to chill out and think about how is this going to affect my future decisions.
He has a few safety tips. Wear ice picks around your neck. You can use those to help climb out of the water if you fall through the ice. The ice should be at least 4 inches thick, and you should have a pack with supplies.
I'm carrying the full set of spare clothes in a dry bag. I've got a first aid kit, I've got a repair kit, like all the standard Alaska stuff, right?
He says he also carries a pair of surgical scissors to cut off frozen clothes, and he may carry a pair of shoes in his pack now, since that helped Job and her boyfriend climb to safety. Aurora Roth is an Alaska glaciologist. She says spending time around glaciers without seeing a calving event gives many people a false sense of security. But she says calving events like this are a feature, not a bug, of glaciers.
They are moving rivers of ice. And so they build up snow and ice up in the mountains, and that is flowing down. And that's the glaciers, this flow of ice. And with that flow comes sort of cracking.
And when the cracked part is hanging off without support, it falls. That's what happened at Portage. She says it's a natural process of glaciers, and it had nothing to do with the crowd.
Alaska Native people, particularly in Southeast, Tlingit Inuk people, have oral histories of glaciers being these alive beings. And there's a reason that those stories talk about glaciers in that way.
Roth has a few tips of her own. Watch out for signs of recent calving, which could mean more is coming. Those signs include chunks of glacier on the ice, a cracked pattern of ice near the glacier's base, or very bright blue on its face. Cracking sounds are also a clear warning sign. Roth says she wants to remind people
just how special it is that we do get to recreate in these places, and to really appreciate that we do get to view these glaciers and these landforms.
And she says you can still take in the beauty of glaciers at a safe distance, at least several hundred meters away. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
The organization that manages federal fisheries off Alaska's coasts wrapped up a week-long meeting on Tuesday. At the center of the discussions, salmon bycatch in the Bering Sea. As Theo Greenlee with the Alaska Desk reports, it's become the biggest fisheries issue in over a decade.
Bycatch dominated February's meeting of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, a 15-member group that sets regulations for federal fisheries off Alaska's coasts. After a week of testimonies and presentations, the council unanimously approved a motion that inches forward a decision that could finally put to bed the issue of trawlers' chum bycatch, which many blame for the catastrophic decline of chum returns in western Alaska. A quick primer, bycatch refers to fish unintentionally caught while targeting other species. In 2021, pollock trawlers in the Bering Sea caught 500,000 chum salmon as bycatch, fish that never made it back to their spawning rivers. For people like Amber Vaska in western Alaska, where subsistence communities are facing an existential crisis, that's unacceptable.
Subsistence needs are ignored. Restrictions are unjustly placed upon us. We have given everything, and bycatch is allowed without accountability. Our survival is worth less than the profits of this industry.
Vaska was one of more than 150 people who testified before the council. She works with the Tanana Chiefs Conference, which represents over 40 tribes in Alaska. Vaska argued that bycatch isn't just a crisis for fisheries. Their entire way of life is under threat.
You heard it today. You've been hearing it for years. It paints a heartbreaking picture of the salmon crisis on our well-being. Our lives, our culture, everything we are revolves around salmon.
On the surface, the issue may seem straightforward. Industrial trawlers scoop up salmon before they can return to western Alaska rivers, decimating subsistence communities in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. The Bering Sea trawl sector is the largest commercial fishery in the nation and is worth about $2 billion. Trawlers have been catching more chum as bycatch than fishermen in western Alaska are catching for subsistence. But federal and state scientists point to extreme marine heat waves, which have devastated chum populations, as driving salmon declines. Warming oceans are shifting entire food chains. But advocates for tighter restrictions, like Jackie Boyer with the nonprofit Salmon State, say bycatch is one factor communities can actually control.
Climate change is an issue, but that's something that we've got no control over. But what we do have control over is bycatch.
Climate change may be doing the heavy lifting, but 35,000 chum salmon were still caught in the Bering Sea pollock fishery last year. Meanwhile, smokehouses and freezers have gone empty in places like the YK Delta. Now, leading studies estimate that less than 20% of that chum bycatch originates in western Alaska. The council has to weigh the impacts of bycatch against potential economic consequences for the trawl sector, too. Council member John Kurland told attendees the council was in a good position to support both groups.
It strikes me that the council's challenge here is to strike a balance. It clearly would not be practicable to close the pollock fishery and forego all of its benefits to the nation.
The council's motion includes five possible actions. They range from keeping the status quo and doing nothing to setting strict bycatch limits, seasonal closures, and industry-led avoidance measures. The council unanimously agreed to approve the motion, which means they'll study those alternatives to prepare for their meeting in December. In Unalaska, I'm Theo Greenlee.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
IBEW's path to success includes excellent training, good wages, benefits, and a comfortable retirement. Join the IBEW and build a bright future. Call 907-575-7285 to find out more. This message sponsored by IBEW Local 1547.
Alaska Pacific University empowers students to make a positive difference in their communities through programs in education, business, outdoor studies, public health, and more. Scholarship and other financial aid opportunities are available. Learn more and apply now at alaskapacific.edu to automatically be considered for most scholarships. Advance your career and your community with APU today. This message sponsored by Alaska Pacific University.
The Joann Arts and Crafts stores in Anchorage and Juneau are among more than 500 locations across the country slated to close their doors. The Ohio-based company filed a motion in bankruptcy court Wednesday seeking to close nearly two-thirds of its stores as part of a restructuring plan. Only Juneau and Anchorage's locations are listed for closures in Alaska. Juneau's Joann location in the Nugget Mall has been a go-to staple for crafters, sewers, and DIYers alike. Diana Wright, a crochet hobbyist, was at the store Wednesday to get yarn for a crochet project. She says the closure will be a huge loss for crafters in town.
It'll impact me a lot because I actually do crocheting and I also do embroidery and I do cross-stitching. So, and they also have stuff for baking, so it'll impact me a lot if they close, because then it's like, I don't really know another other place in town that sells the stuff they do.
Another crafter getting supplies at the store was MJ Godekin. They say the store's closure will make it harder and more expensive for people to do creative projects.
It is definitely going to have an impact on everyone because we need hobbies to get through the dark times, and it's hard to do that when it's not cheap.
It's unclear when Juneau's store will close or how many employees will lose their jobs. Employees at the store in Juneau declined to comment, and the company has not responded to KTOO's request for more information. It's Valentine's Day, and love is in the air across the state, including in Girdwood. As a way to help outdoorsy Alaskans meet their match, Alyeska Ski Resort hosted its first ever Lifts for Love chairlift speed dating event last night. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early set out to answer the question, can you find love on the ski slopes?
Connor Flood is in the military and says there's not a lot of ways to meet potential dates with his busy schedule.
Mainly just dating apps, because, you know, not many females where I work, you know, so dating apps are kind of my best way to try to get out there, and so far it hasn't really worked out.
He's one of 91 singles at Alyeska Resort on Valentine's Eve, looking to find the love of his life on a chairlift. He's even sporting some new gear.
I got a new bib for this, so I'm going all out.
The The plan is simple. Skiers and snowboarders pair up and take a chairlift up part of the mountain and take the time to get to know each other before heading down the slope together. Organizer Abby Brow says there are two spots to get off.
Kind of at the top of this, that little like hill right there is where the midway point is. So people might like hop off there and like come down here. Otherwise, it kind of like doubles the length. It's like a long cat track up to the next stop.
Hopping off at the midway point gives the couples about 6 minutes to chat, while going all the way to the top is about 14. Brow says the participants are divided into four groups.
Mountain Maverick, Mountain Maven, Snow Bunny, and Powder Prince.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it's the different age categories.
What's
so we know
off?
Who to match. It's 21 to 30 and 31 plus.
After about half an hour of participants enjoying drinks and mingling, organizer Arab Ginnett gathered everyone together to lay out the rules. Each person was numbered off and at the end of each run would write down each other's numbers and check a box if there was a connection.
After that, tonight we're going to work our magic. We are going to make all of our matches, and then you're going to get an email from us later today that says who your potential matches are. Does that all make sense? There we go. That's what I was looking for.
With that, people were paired off and headed up the chairlift.
All right, chair's coming up for you.
Merit Paramo is one of the younger snow bunnies looking for her powder prince. She's a doctoral student who's been single for a couple years, and her dating life has been almost non-existent since.
Well, I was in Oregon for a while, and that was not the vibe. I need an Alaskan man.
Oh, yeah?
Christopher Jordan is in construction and says it's been slim pickings trying to find someone to be in a relationship with.
I'm not saying that I'm older, but, you know, almost 30. I'm not quite a mountain maverick, still a snow prince. Still a snow prince today, so that's good. But yeah, I just want someone who wants to have an actual relationship and actually get to know me.
Serena Murdoch works for a Head Start program and says it's been hard to find new people in a small community. She got divorced last March.
This looked like something fun to get back out there. Pretty into skiing, so whoever I meet should be into skiing too, right?
As for what she's looking for,
I just want someone that can make me laugh, someone that I know like cares about me genuinely. I'm pretty easy to please.
After about 9 runs, Connor Flood, the service member from earlier, says he found a lot of outdoorsy ladies, which is what he was looking for. But he worries he may have had a red flag for some of them.
Some of them were a lot older than me. Oh. And that's, they don't like that, so.
For doctoral student Paramo, she found a few guys who she wouldn't mind seeing again.
Oh my goodness. Oh, one of them was an older brother and he was really nice. Ooh, one guy was really silly and was making good jokes. And we were wearing the same outfit. It was the guy with the same outfit.
What?
Silly man.
You gotta lock that down.
A silly man. Love a silly man.
Jordan, the construction worker, says he met so many great women. Though one made a comment that gave him pause.
There's one who said she didn't like dogs. And I was just like, what? That's insanity. You don't say that on a first date, right? They're all a little different, but that's it. Otherwise, no, they're all beautiful. They're all great.
And of course, the million-dollar question. Did you find the love of your life?
Oh, man, I sure hope so. You know, it sounds great to me. Absolutely, this will be a great start to everything, you know, great story to tell our kids.
Reporting from Girdwood, with love literally in the air, I'm Wesley Early.
And finally tonight, a correction to a story last night that said the top Iron Dog snow machine racers are expected to cross the finish line in Big Lake in 2 days. It's likely to be about a week. And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at alaskapublic.org and wherever you get your podcasts. We had reports tonight from Eric Stone and Clarice Larson in Juneau, Andrew Gelderman in Talkeetna, Alona Naden in Anchorage, along with Rachel Cassandra in Anchorage, Theo Greenlee in Unalaska, and Wesley Early in Girdwood. Our audio engineer is Chris Hyde, Tim Rocky's our producer, and I'm Casey Grove. Good night.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible in part by your local public radio station. Sustaining membership offers public media greater financial stability month to month, so consider making a sustaining gift to this station. Thank you. Support for public radio comes from the communities we serve. Whether you give as an individual member or through your business, know that your contribution makes possible programming that informs, inspires, and entertains. We thank you for the role you play in your public radio station. This is Statewide News on Alaska Public Media.
Cause no need to say another word. It will be golden and eternal, just like that. Something good will come. Don't move. You're the one that moves. These roads don't move. You're the one that moves. Now get my ticket and say goodbye. San Francisco behind. Go back home across autumn America. And it'll all be like it was in the beginning. These roads don't.
John Energy, pockets real fat, Cashville, Tennessee. Fight the blunt, it done died off, yeah. Ride off, yeah. Yo, boss, he done died off, yeah. I just cut the dirty stuff and piled off, yeah. Working me, she working me, urging me, it be urging me. Chill it up the top of cold the curtain, please. I decided to go up like Major League. She just popped the just like pumpkin beans. She just popped the say I hurt her knees.
Hurt it.
She hurt me, Rich Dawn Hercules.
Hurt it.
She hurt me, Rich Dawn Hercules.
Hercules.
I decided to go up Major League.
Going up.
Call the plug, tell him bring it, tell him bring it. Then retired with the JT.
JT.
Bought a coupe and told a rapper race me. Remember when they used to curve me? Now they wanna represent my earnings.
Represent.
If you won't smoke, smoke alarm me.
Smoke, smoke.
By yourself, no, bring your army.
Come and get me.
I'm having sh- gonna stink your whole family. I put them out, I feel like he done broke the leaves. I put the work inside the wall behind the scenes. She attracting all the dogs, but work for me. Working me, she working me. Urging me, it be urging me. Chill it up, the top of the curtain, please. I decide.
table and I'm staring at the plate. I wait for guests and they are 15 hours late. I read my German book and learned a bunch of verbs. I spoke a language only lonely girls have heard, saying you should be bubbly, bubbly. You should be doubly gratified. You should be doubly, doubly. You should be doubly gratified. Bright light, shimmer, 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 bright light, bright light, shimmer. I slip the weight, slip you the weight. I push the weight, push you the weight. Bright light, shimmer. Bright light, shimmer.
Hotel and I'm not paying. She wanna know my occupay. I said I make money, money, ay. Like a Rob Banks, Uncle Phil Doe. Come to my place if you want a real show. She got me feeling like a magic mic. You a beauty girl, tell me what the pageant's like. Skinny chick but her booty got an appetite. If she catch me looking at it, I just act polite. Like, yo, what a conundrum. Punch drunk, love like Floyd Mayweather. Just pumped on full of some Russian vodka. Said she out of my league like the Brooklyn Dodgers. Everybody trying to be the MVP. I take your girl from courtside just to show her the lie. Cause
I don't wanna keep you up. I just wanna give you love. I don't wanna make it tough. Cause you don't gotta do too much. I don't wanna say goodbye. I just wanna stay the night. Show me what you made up. Yeah, show me what you made up. And you don't gotta turn me down. I'll come in when there's no one home. Baby, let me turn you on. I treat you like a new iPhone. Girl, you can be a star. Yeah, cause you already are. Show me what you made up. Show me what you made up. I do whatever I want.
inertia, pushed out by circumstance. Pistol firing at my feet, that's coercing me to dance. As I look for a bigger bang than the kind I'm sorry to know. Here I am, first foot of the climb, watch me go. Lover, can you help me? I'm a child.
Chasing pavement. I just keep chasing pavements, even if it leads nowhere. Oh, would it be a waste, even if I knew my place? Should I leave it there?
You're listening to 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska.
Working on a weekend like usual, way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going nuts. Caught me slipping once, okay, so what?
Someone hit your block up, I'd tell you if it was us. Manor house in Rosewood, it too plush. Say my day's a number, but I keep waking up. Know you see my text, baby, please say something. Wine by the glass, your man a cheapskate, huh? Gotta move off my release day, huh? This is fame, not clout. I don't even know what that's about. Watch your mouth. Baby got an ego twice the size of the crib. I can never tell it is what it is. But said what I had to and did what I did. Never turn my back on FBG, God forbid. Virgil got the paddock on my wrist, doing front flips. Giving you my number, but don't hit me on no dunk. Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going nuts. Caught me slipping once, okay, so what? Someone hit your block up, I'd tell you if it was us. Manor house in Rosewood, it too plush.
It's cool, man.